It's a privilege tonight to greet you in the wonderful and powerful and glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just have to take a moment and think about the brother that was just standing here. You know, stage 4 pancreatic cancer is a terrorizing new piece of news to get. I'll come back to that in a moment. But I want to say thanks to those of you who prayed for me, especially during the month of May. Don't want to spend much time talking about myself, but I was in the hospital 29 days in May and near death a few times. For my wife and family and others who wanted me to live, I didn't want to be cruel. And I never asked God to take my life, but there was times when I'd have been perfectly fine if he just would have. But God chose that I could live. So thank you for praying, and thank you if some of the sharing you did tonight helps with the expenses. Our brother, my own recent experience, but then my one son lives in a congregation where recently, all of a sudden, a 19-year-old young man needed surgery on his brain. And I thought my first surgery, I had 4 of them, I guess, or at least I was in the operating room that many times. My first surgery was 7.5 hours. That was a long surgery. This young man had a surgery of about 18 hours. And God has chosen, as far as I know, to step by step restore him to health. It's all in his hands. But there's coming a day when it won't matter to anyone anymore, right? It could be. Some of us may not be that far from death, but what about if the Lord Jesus Christ came right now? I'll vote in favor of that. Looking unto Jesus. What I wanted to say is when you face these kind of realities that our brother was just talking about, it really makes a difference if you've been looking unto Jesus before you got the news, before you faced the crises, whatever it is in life, to have been in love with the Lord Jesus, serving him, and walking in his footsteps. It does not always make the wise of life, W-H-Y. It doesn't always make them very clear, nor does it make a case where no sorrow exists, no pain. But it's a real anchor to hold to. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12, where my assigned text is taken from. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 4, I want to read here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And as you know, chapter 11 has many examples of faithful men and women who by faith did the next right thing. But then after that, it says, now, especially in this New Testament era, turn your eyes on Jesus. God proved through those faithful men and women found in chapter 11 that it's possible for a human being who was born with the nature of sin, born with the sentence of death in their life to live in a way to please God. But no one ever pleased God the way his son did. Jesus came to this earth with a commitment, a decision, a body thou hast prepared for me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And that was why God could say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This was the man, the only man. And that's why he's the only one qualified to be our Redeemer, the only man who was sinless. He didn't even say anything that he didn't receive of his father. He lived a perfect life of obedience. Jesus came willing to suffer. We know from the garden experience that it wasn't easy for him to suffer everything his father asked him to suffer. But he already had the decision made in his life. I was talking a little bit with Brother Ron this morning. We both have six children, and both of us have children that don't live very close to us. And I said, you know, it's easier if you've made the decision on ahead of time that wherever God takes my family, he may do that. It's sort of like having the sentence of death in your life. If you've just made up your mind, as long as they serve Jesus, wherever he takes them. And Jesus had a perfect commitment like that. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I will do whatever you ask. I will say whatever you tell me to say. I'm yours. Jesus was faithful in the face of extreme opposition, especially there at the end. Let me see. Verse 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. That contradiction was tremendous. Many members of his own family, his own nation, his own church background, the Roman authorities, and in a sense, to a certain degree, even some of his own disciples. And of course, he suffered shame. He was perfect. He didn't have any sin, and yet he was accused. He was condemned, spit on, buffeted, tortured, desnuded, rejected. There were a few that didn't shame him, but almost everyone around him did. There was something additional that as all that was happening. Jesus lost physically, materially, and socially, not spiritually, thank God, but in almost every other way, Jesus lost everything he could have or could have had when he surrendered to the cross. Hanging there on the cross, in a material, in a social, in a positional way, he was nothing in the eyes of men. He died. It is finished. He died. And when he was risen from the dead, when he came out of that grave and later ascended to the Father, God exalted him to the highest position a man can ever have. The right hand of God. There is no authority in heaven and earth, no being that God has created who has the level of authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has tonight. He sets supreme only the Father who is there on the throne to his left side, reigns above him. King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the one that these three words that was chosen out of verse 2 looking unto Jesus. This looking unto Jesus means fix your attention there, fix your allegiance there, fix your purposes there. Make Jesus central, foremost in your life. I'm glad too, you young people are up here. I'm glad you're in this meeting. But I want to say to the oldest person in this room, in this auditorium, I have no idea who it is, but I guarantee you're older than I am. But the oldest person here, you need the Lord Jesus as much as these young people do. If you expect that you're going to have the approval of God in your life when you meet him face to face without being found in Christ, if you are not found in Christ, you will be lost. It don't matter how many communions you've taken or what your position has been in the church. You need Jesus as much at 100. We have a sister in our church that's 102 or 3, about to lose track. But she needs Jesus as much now to be justified and holy before God as a 14-year-old who just made a decision for Christ. Whether you are in Jesus Christ or not is the absolute most important factor about you. Because I guess they're probably my two favorite verses in the Bible. But 1 John 5, about 11 and 12, it says, he that hath the Son hath life, regardless of age or station. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you have life, you will be family with God, bride of Christ forever. If you do not have the Son of God and you die or Jesus comes and you're that way, you will be lost and you will go to hell forever. I'm 63. That's very true of me. I'm striving by the grace of God, I hope you are too, to live a life that pleases him, very imperfectly, but that's my goal. But I know full well that I'm not meriting the fact that I stand here tonight and I'm justified in his presence. The page is white and clean, not because I have attained sinless perfection, but because the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. And I'm not trying to play games with him. I hope you aren't either. That I can just do anything I want to do and he'll just cover it up and I'll get along scot-free. No, 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 no. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But with an honest, true desire to follow the Lord Jesus, we're in the flow of his blood and we're clean. I just want to repeat it. If you do not have Jesus, you are hopelessly lost. There's no chance for you. Now, I don't want to scare anyone that's innocent here tonight, because I believe personally that every person that was ever born was born into the saving grace of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice avails for every individual. But, and this is a very important but. I often, when people say but, it scares me. It's because they're going to change their argument. But that's not the case here. When a person gets to the place where they understand the call of God upon their life, they must choose Jesus or choose sin and darkness. And if you go to hell, you will not go to hell because you were born a human that was part of a lost race. You will go to hell because of what you did with Jesus. And I fully agree with my brother here tonight, Brother Pat, that to decide I just won't choose, that is a decision against Jesus. I understand there's people that say that. Well, there's hypocrites in the church and, I'm not sure I can make it. I'm not sure I could do it. I think I'll just choose to not get involved. Well, the choice to not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is a choice to love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. We need Jesus. We need Jesus for every aspect of living. That statement is all-inclusive, I believe, when Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. So we need the Lord Jesus. We need him to have peace with God. We need him for grace, for life, for access, for growth, for fruit. And I want to talk about these things more extensively. We'll begin with, we look unto Jesus in the moment of conversion. There's no other name given among men. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And I hope you never water that down. It's not true that you can get to God through another alternative. It's not true that you can have your own truth and your own faith. It's not true that you can do it through Muhammad or Islam or whatever other alternative there is. You can't even get there by having a good Mennonite or Amish name. There is salvation through no other. And when we come to Jesus, I think one of the things talking about parents trying to prepare the way for their children to serve Jesus, I think one of the burdens on our heart should be that when the moment comes that they face the need of their salvation, that there's a sense of desperation where they know that without Jesus Christ, I am hopelessly lost. And it's not just that I'm going to join the church of my fathers, but I need a Savior because I have the sin nature and I'm convicted of it. Let's turn to Romans 6. Verses 4 and 5. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So folks, it's not a vote for Jesus. It's not just accepting him as an icon. It is an exchange of life where we surrender the old life and we become disciples. And as he said in Luke, we take up our cross daily and follow him. It's a whole different vocation, a whole different call of life. So we need Jesus to be converted. We need Jesus to have an acceptable position of faith and justification, security in the family of God. When we decide to give our whole life to Jesus Christ gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're born from above, and when that happens, we have peace with God. We have membership in his family. We are justified from sin. God does not impute sin against us. That's an accounting term. He doesn't write it up in the ledger. Now, again, like I said earlier, we must be honest, we must be sincere, but following him wholeheartedly, he does not even put it down. He might speak to us about saying we're sorry or repenting, as our brother said, or as Brother Ron said this morning, asking our son or daughter or wife or husband forgiveness for what we said or how we said it. But our position in Jesus Christ is secure, and we're ready to go, ready to go. Whatever the diagnosis is, whatever the prognosis is, we're ready to go. And I just want to remind us one more time, without Jesus, there is no justification. There is no peace with God. There is no membership in his family. We will stand before God condemned, irregardless of our good works or efforts. if we're not found in Christ. Thirdly, access. Personally, I don't know what most of you do in your congregation, so I'm free to say what I'm going to say here. I do not prefer to hear people say at the end of a prayer, in your name, because they're addressing the Father, right? And I'm sure Jesus and the Holy Spirit can redirect that prayer the way it needs to be. But the fact of the matter is, the Holy Spirit of God gives us unction to pray, but our right to be heard, our access to the Father's throne is through Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for him, we'd have no audience in the throne room of God. We come to the Father in Jesus' name, and there's tremendous power available. And I want to be clear tonight, it doesn't mean that God's always going to say yes to my prayers. It doesn't mean that I will always see the results that I wanted to, especially if I'm praying for other people. They have free will too. But there is tremendous power in Jesus' name. And I was preaching a whole message one time in a state long ways from here, and it wasn't in Maryland either, but about this in Jesus' name. And a few months later, a brother from that church wrote me a letter, and he said, the way you treated that subject in Jesus' name, I was pretty skeptical, he said. But he said, I decided to work on it, you know, begin to really put faith in addressing the Father in the name of Jesus and being specific about the request. And he said, I have come to see that God does respond and that the name of Jesus Christ is powerful. We sing that little chorus sometimes. We have the power in the name of Jesus. It's one thing to sing it, it's another to believe that I can approach the throne of the Father and believe that the petitions I have, I will receive of him because it's in the name of Jesus. And you need to understand tonight that God doesn't fulfill our program. We have to co-labor with his program. And then we have the petitions we ask of him. Sometimes the answer is no, or sometimes it's different. Looking unto Jesus to understand how to live. I believe Jesus Christ is the best prism through which to understand the Bible. I heard already here this week, and that I think it was from Brother Ray, but that the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus Christ and redemption. And so if the whole thing from cover to cover is about Jesus Christ, then why wouldn't he be the best reference book with which to understand what it's all about? And so the best way to understand the commands of God, the best way to understand the ways of God, is to see it through the life teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look to Jesus on the subject of forgiveness. The only reason you and I can be forgiven and be at peace with God is through Jesus. I want to ask you tonight, you don't have to answer out loud. Have you ever struggled with accepting forgiveness? You know, sometimes the things we've done just is pretty bad, pretty ugly. Will God forgive us? Through Jesus Christ, if we truly repent, he will forgive us. And we need to just remind Satan when he fights us that, yes, I know that my sins were really serious and black, but I have repented, and I'm sowing a countercrop. I'm sowing a different way now. But then we have to turn around, and we need to forgive others also. And it's by looking to Jesus. It is not natural to forgive. Sometimes we are hurt really, really deep. The psalmist said it was his very best friend almost. It was somebody he went to camp meeting with and they had great times. And they turned around and stabbed him in the back. I remind people again and again, I need to remind myself that forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling, it's a decision. And it's a decision based on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. You look unto Jesus and you see how he forgave. How can I hold out? I just heard some really nasty information. Well, it's sad on their behalf, of somebody that I had struggles with in the past. Appreciate. And so I was just reminding myself on the way to the service this evening of the importance of making the decision to forgive. Listen, forgiving the way Jesus forgives not only ceases to talk against somebody or fight against somebody, but it reopens the valve of love where we seek to bless them. And we can honestly say to God, God, I do not want that brother to go to judgment and be found guilty. I do not want that brother to fail. I do not want that brother to suffer. Bless him with life. You look to Jesus, that will be a far easier decision to make. And I need to tell you tonight, life is not easy, you know that. But what I really want to tell you is this, if you do not have Jesus, you will have frayed relationships. You will tend toward ill will. And you likely will end up with bitter feelings. We need Jesus to keep our spirits free, to keep our heart open and soft and pliable towards people. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 4. I'm thinking now, we've talked about hurts and offenses. And there are things that come into our life that aren't from other people. But we all know, we've heard a lot about it in today's world. Abuses of many different kinds, hurts, childhood traumas, relationship traumas, loneliness, depression, suicide, and the list goes on and on. You may not agree with me tonight, but I'm going to tell you plainly what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ, through his shed blood and the power of the Holy Spirit that he gives, can give healing to any situation that mankind faces. And I'm not saying that he won't use godly tools in the process, but you look what it says here. He read this passage himself. It comes from the book of Isaiah. But here in Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And folks, I've been involved in missions just about all my adult life. And I think I've seen just about every kind of suffering and abuse at the level of childhood and families and ladies and men, just about any category that's out there. And I've seen how the Lord Jesus Christ can set people free. Not that the hurts, the history of them is still there, but he's able to give them joy in place of heaviness, healing in place of wounds. And so we need to believe that for our own life, but then we also need to believe it if we're going to minister to the brokenhearted, to the wounded, to the hurting. We look to Jesus. What are we going to do with the mess if we don't have Jesus to offer. In our local town there, we decided we were going to rent this little business front in a very wicked part of town, and we were going to hold Bible studies there. And so we started that. This was back a number of years ago. But one of the things that impressed me was the first two adults that started to regularly attend were two ladies, probably close to middle age, who had been involved in several different marital situations and were either bipolar or schizophrenic. And what are you going to do with those kind of cases if you don't have Jesus to offer? And so we need to look to Jesus if we're ever going to have a meaningful ministry to the lost, especially in the age we live in now. It's also true that we look to Jesus for physical healing and for sin healing or healing of the practice of sin. One little story I'd like to tell you that really impressed me. Not everything is quite this categorized as such, but while serving in Guatemala, a young man came to me and said, I'd like to be anointed. I don't remember exactly how old he was. I'd say about 22, just to make a guess. And he came to us and said, I'd like to be anointed. And I asked him, well, what is your physical problem? He said, well, I have a throat that is so raw I can hardly swallow. We got a few brothers together and we talked about it some more. And he said, the thing is, I had a really severe infection in my stomach and they gave me a really strong, prolonged course of antibiotic. And so my stomach got cured, but it left my throat just like it's being cut with a knife. And I've tried medicine and doctoring and it's just not changing. It's not getting any better. He said, so I'd like to be anointed and ask God to heal my throat. So we did that. And as it's one of the few times this ever happened in my life. But as we were praying for him, he began to shake and to sob. And when it was all done, we got him on his feet. He said, I felt it go. While you were praying, it just went. My throat is fine. And of course, that was really exciting. That doesn't happen so often that God chooses just to heal like that. But then it was a week or two later in a prayer meeting, he stood up when it was time for petitions and he gave a testimony how God had healed him. And then he made this comment. He said, and I'm so grateful that God healed my mind. And I was like, okay, what's that all about? So I waited to a time I had an opportunity to speak to him, just he and I. And I said, I knew that God healed your throat, but what's the matter of your mind? He said, you know, I was really struggling to get a hold of the evil thoughts that would come into my mind, evil imaginations. But he said, when I trusted God to heal my throat, he gave me victory over bad thoughts in my mind. Looking unto Jesus. Well, as I said in the beginning, we're looking for him to come again. The scripture says he's going to come for those who watch for him. And, you know, if he's going to come in the clouds, we're in this building. I don't think it means that every moment we have to be outside looking up. But we live conscious of the fact that he's coming soon. And we live in sincerity of heart and mind in the reality of, I must keep my life up to date because today could be the day. Think of this little poem. Some folks are building hopes down here and planning ahead. So busy with their fortunes, they forget what Jesus said about the wars and the earthquakes, famines, and the fig trees budding leaves. But there is a group of people getting ready to leave. And folks, looking unto Jesus for those who look for him means we're getting ready to leave. We're keeping up to account. We're being honest with Jesus Christ and our fellow man. We're getting ready to leave. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's Hebrews 9:28. Lastly, author and finisher. He's the one we need for conversion. Now the finisher of our faith. Revelation 19, if you would turn there. I want to read verses 6 to 9. Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Now, folks, these last two points. We're living in very uncertain times. And likely some of us have some preferences of what we'd like to see in politics. But I do know tonight that whether there's a Republican president or a Democrat president, whether they're a man or a woman, what the skin color, I know that the whole of our society is going deeper and deeper into deprivation and sin, and that no political system is going to save us. But folks, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and reigns on the earth, he will set things right. And when it's all said and done, death will be over, sin will be over, and we will be the bride of Jesus Christ. Let's look for him. And while we're looking, let's fix our gaze on him. Let's practice in real religious faith that's genuine, a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here in about 2 minutes, we're going to have an invitation. And I want to explain to you, because I know there's been a lot of blessing here these 3.5 days. I want to explain to you how the invitation is. If you're a Christian and you would go to heaven tonight, but you've been battling with some habits or sins you want to overcome, you're not entrenched, but still you would like some good counsel and you would like prayer, you can stand to your feet. I know there's a brother or sister here that'd be glad to pray with you. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, but you've been covering a sin, you've been brought under the bondage of something, maybe it's anger, don't excuse it. Can't blame it on Dad. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's other things. Maybe you've told an untruth, and then you told another. I don't know. Maybe God hasn't cut you off yet, but you're going down a path of sin that's going to destroy your faith. And if you don't turn around, you're going to lose your soul. You're invited to stand while we sing till you're noticed. And then, of course, if you're here tonight and you're responsible before God and you have never chosen to be faithful to Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian because you do not have Jesus in your life. Look, you don't have any hope on the day you stand before God. You're lost. You will go to hell. I'm sorry. I don't want anyone to go to hell. Please respond tonight if you need Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in the reverent moment of contemplating our lives and whether it's true that we are looking unto Jesus or not, I pray, O God, that you would give every sincere Christian deep peace in their heart and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then those who may have a need of once again, or maybe for the first time, looking unto Jesus as their only hope and only plea, would you give them courage to stand up for you tonight? In Jesus' precious name, amen.